in Luke. And the thing about what we've been doing is seeing how Jesus pulls down the things that we think we're okay at and we're really not. And this, we're going to talk about control today. And I just tell you, I'm losing control. I don't like it. My kids now are headed off to college and those things, and I've lost the control I used to have over them. I enjoyed that, shaping them, telling them what to do, doing. And now I'm kind of losing it. I don't get to do that anymore. It's like, ah. And I realized how much of my life is run by control. I do like knowing what it is I'm supposed to be doing and then getting it done. It's really common, almost everyone. I don't know if you've heard, medically, I think of, have you heard of anorexia nervosa? It's a problem. It's a disease. People actually get really thin because they don't eat, right? Think, well, just get them food. That's the answer. The answer is more food. No, the problem is this underlying piece about control. It's like, I don't have any control in my life. The one thing I can control is what I put in my mouth. So I'm going to control it. Now, you may not have that condition, but we all have these things we hold on to very tightly. And my heart today is that you might peel the fingers off a little and realize you actually don't have the control you think you have. And that's not a bad thing. That's an amazing thing. So that's what we're looking at today. And we go through, we'll pick it up right where we left off last week, which is this piece there. It's like, that starts out, you're like, what? Why is this about control? But stay with me. It says, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And I think, yeah, there's something to do. What does it mean? Now you're scaring me right away, Dax. What does it mean to blaspheme against the Spirit? And can I make sure I don't do that? And I got to keep things under control for that. Not at all. Jesus is saying that speaking against the Son of Man, which they're all doing. You know what Jesus did when he came to earth and he was with even his disciples. They ran away from him. They didn't stay with him. He came to die. And the way that we treated him and spit on him and put him on a cross, all of that forgiven because he came to forgive. That's our Savior, right? He forgives all of our sin. That's my blasphemy against Jesus, is that I my sin put him there. But the Spirit's coming, the proclaimer of the truth, the paraclete, the helper, the one who's in control. And he's got the only way of salvation. If you reject that, if you reject this incredible reality that you need a Savior, that Jesus died for you, and you cannot hear because your eyes are closed and you don't listen and you continue to push against the only reality that there is, the Spirit at work. It's not a good thing. So that puts some burden on what we're going to say, right? I better make sure I've heard this pastor before. I use it for evangelism. You say, okay, well, I got to know that my ducks in a row when I speak. I got to make sure I'm in control of the message. I've studied and I know what to say and all those things. But Jesus goes right on to say this. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I don't have to worry about what I'm ever going to say. How to witness, to study the Bible really hard, because you know, otherwise I'm not doing my part. I'm not in control of what I should have control over. Yeah, that's the issue for today, for you and for me. Control. Life is not about your prep. The hardest thing in life is to lay down and to trust that someone bigger than you has actually got you today for the small things that happen in your day, for the circumstances that are happening in your life, for the way that life is handling you. Do you trust that? Say, well, no, it's about me doing my part. No. Stay with us. Let's look a little closer. Here we're going to start with our desire. We want control. Our idea is that, oh, control is so wanted by us. I live for it. So you got somebody who calls out to Jesus. Somebody in the crowd. Some of the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I so resonate. Tell him to be fair. That's the idea, right? I want the world to be fair. This is very reasonable. Be a good judge. Work on my behalf. Let me have the control of a logical, understandable, fair life, God. If anything, our lives, we don't say it like this, but I'll tell you, our lives run on this bedrock principle that, oh, we think everything should be fair. That's a control piece, because if I just know I'm going to get my slice, then I know, okay, I at least know that and I can work off of that and I can take hold of the things I can take hold of and it's going to be okay all the way through because everybody's got a fair shake. God is the just, fair settler of the rules and he makes sure everybody, you know, does them rightly or he gives them bad consequences and I'm in that whole system. What's the issue? I'm in control if you tell me the rules. God is fair and his justice means I control my own fate if only people just set the rules right. I so want a level playing field. It makes me understand God as someone who's eminently fair. There's no special treatment for anyone. God will just judge on how hard people work and the effort they put in and fairness. Everybody gets the same. It's up to each of us and you need to control your part. You see what that is, right? It's a form of control. God must respond to my idea of what's right. What if God wants something different than what you think? What if God doesn't want your brother to share the inheritance with you? But that's not just, that's not right. God doesn't want that. I know. I've got this idea and it's, I want to be assured that my idea of what's right happens. Control. Jesus has something to say. He says, but he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? I'm not interested, says Jesus, in satisfying your desire for fairness and being seen by you to be a just God who wants you to get a fair shake and letting you have control over your ideas of fairness. Nope. Not interested. What? In fact, you know, Jesus, you say fairness, but Jesus sees how you and I mask our desires for our own benefit all the time, wrapped in justice and fairness talk. I mean, look what he says. He says, and he said to them, take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You see how that goes together, right? The guy said, Lord, tell this, my brother, to give me my share of the money. And Jesus looks and says, yeah. You know, I know what's at the base of that. Your desire for that. There's greed. There's gathering so you can have more, so you can be in control of your own destiny. Take care. You don't see rightly. You need to look a different way. What way? This way. He told them a parable. He said, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. What a problem. And he said, well, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Is he talking about retirement? You see the scenario, you know it's our scenario really. You work hard so that you save enough, so that you have enough for your later years. You take the blessings you have, you store them up for future life. And eventually you're assured of a good life based on your long obedience and disciplined life. That's fairness. on my control. What's the control piece? I worked hard. I was thoughtful. I raised crops. I got up early. I did the work, and therefore I reaped the rewards. I got to control that piece, you know. What's the problem? The problem's not with riches. So often that's where we go, right? Well, yeah, the guy's greedy. He wants a lot of stuff, and you shouldn't want a lot of stuff. You should give it up. No. God's okay with money. The money's not the issue. Abraham's very rich. Solomon's very wealthy. People in the Bible had stuff. That's not the issue. The issue is God blesses people. How do they think about them? I'm going to get myself set up with lots of stuff, and I will have a controlled future. I control my own destiny by the things I have done, says the rich man, says you, says me. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It's shocking. No, what's really shocking is death. It's so final. It's so lacking in any ability of mine to control. It comes to the poor man and the rich man. It comes to those who take care of their bodies and those who do not and smoke like chimneys. It comes to the skinny and to the fat, to the young and to the old. More to the old, sure, but to plenty of people who are young. It's not fair. I want a controllable. I want something I can plan out. I want to know that all my stuff is laid out so that when I work hard at something, I get the results of it and it's mine. And that's how the system is supposed to work. And Jesus comes and says, you don't even understand. You have no control. It's a thought I don't find encouraging. You know, I like 1 Peter or Isaiah, either one, kind of says, you're like a flower that fades so fast, grass that withers so quickly. It's like you breathe and it's over and we try and control it. I take medicine. I do a healthy diet. Resistance training is the big thing now. Whatever it is, I'm trying to control and have the best life I can. And here Jesus kind of says it can be over like that. I know that's true, but I still don't like it. So I try and make this a new rule. What I try to do, like, oh, here's a new rule. The new rule is, okay, I know I can't control right here, but maybe I can control heaven if I'm rich towards God, which means I'm going to like not worry about my stuff here, but I'm going to take it. And you've heard different people in the past say this. You can't take it with you, but you can do what? You can send it on ahead. We'll have offering boxes in the back. That's the idea, right? If you give to God, because then you'll enjoy more in heaven. That's just another form of control. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, well, if you would just give towards heaven more, then your life in heaven will be secure because you'll... No, that's absolutely not. He's saying you're twisting that around because you want to control heaven. What's the message? The message of the gospel is God comes to you. The message of your life is God has done something for you. You have no control over it. He did it. You don't have the ability to say, oh, I'm going to control what my life will be like in heaven. No, the issue is you think that. That's the issue. That's the problem. The problem is I can't get my hands off of my ability to go do something that'll be awesome for God. I so want control, but I so don't have it. We lack control. So let's look. Jesus keeps going. He says to his disciples, now he's talking to his guys. He says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, or your body, what you will put on. Don't be anxious, says Jesus. Don't care about what you're going to eat. Don't care about what you're going to wear. Dude, what a great goal. I do constantly. I worry about what I'm going to have for breakfast. What's for lunch? Okay, as soon as I said that, some of you guys started thinking about lunch. It's coming up, and you start thinking, well, where's lunch going to be? What am I going to do for dinner? And are you going to have enough to have clothes to wear and things to have? The only reason I wouldn't worry about that as a human being is because I'm already wealthy. I'm already the guy who's like saying, I've got a lot of stuff, and I'm all set. That's most of us in this room. We're so stinking wealthy. I've got enough money to buy clothes. Costco's cheap. And you say, well, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't really worry about those things. I know. Yeah, that's because you think you have some control. You've got money in your bank account. You know you're going to eat. And Jesus is talking to people who don't have any of that. They have no savings. They have no things. They're walking around with a bunch of money and a bank card. And he says, don't even worry about eating. It's radical. I don't do that. Why? Because I have too much control. I already have the stuff in my pockets that's going to buy things. What am I trusting in? I'm not trusting in God. Trusting in the stuff I have in my pockets. And Jesus is going the other way. He's saying, in actuality, what I'm telling you is not, oh, don't worry, you've got enough stuff in your pockets. He's saying, you've got no control. And that's okay. You've got no control. And that's not a bad thing. Right? He says to his guys, don't worry. There's no control, and that's the plan. Trust the God who has control. Right? Life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. Yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Life is something more than you're thinking, says Jesus. You want to make sure you have enough, that you have control. You think about the birds of the air. They don't plan for the season. They don't plant and then water and then harvest and then put it in the barn so they keep it and sell it for money, and then because that lasts more than the stuff in the barn. So then you have it for next year, the year after. They don't do any of those things, he says, but it's okay. Why? Because God's got them. You think he doesn't have you? He loves you more, says Jesus. Yeah, but if he loved me, he would let me have a lot of stuff so that I could have the assurance of that love. I could have some control, so much say over how much I used in any given situation. I'd be able to choose, pick and choose where I ate and what I did and what I wore. I'd have so much more control. It'd be so much nicer. Why doesn't God do that? Because your issue is control. You won't let it go. That's our flesh. You know, we see our lack. We see how we'd prefer to have assurance in ourselves, so we worry. I mean, it doesn't work to worry. That's what Jesus is saying. But he's also saying, don't do it. And I do all the time. And I mean, who can say they never worry about anything? He keeps going, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? You have no control. If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Ah, this is the issue, right? I think I'm in control. I think the barn building will set me up. The key investments will set me up for life. The weightlifting will help. The anaerobic exercise, the clean diet. You say, yes, Jesus, I get the sentiment, Dax, about what Jesus is saying. But in actuality, I'm not sure he's right, because I know I'm extending my life by daily workouts. I know I'm controlling when God's going to take me home by eating better. Really? You ever watch the guy running who drops dead while he's running? Do you ever see cancer really come on somebody just like that? We don't have any control, you guys. We really don't. So the issue becomes for us, and what God's talking about and what they're saying is he's right there. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You're beautiful, lilies. Solomon and all his choices and all his wealth and all the things he was trying to control. He didn't even get to be as beautiful as how God just made a flower and it's gorgeous. Who's in control? And is that a good thing? But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive on the field today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And now he's not talking about shirts and pants. He's talking about God making you beautiful. Not you making you beautiful. God. Isn't he doing that? Isn't that what the issue is? I mean, I can't even trust God for tomorrow's bread. I'm so bad at it. I fret and I worry. I can't even trust God that my kids are going to be okay. My wife's going to be okay. I have to try and enter into that and make it okay and not trust my God's got me all the way through. I'm terrible at this. But this is what Jesus says. All that I have is given to me. Shall I not trust that he will make me beautiful? Well, I don't feel like I'm very beautiful, so I don't. No. It's not about your mirror. It's about what God says to you. What does God say to you? Is he making you beautiful? That's the issue, right? So that issue becomes the underlying piece. You know, like for the anorexic, it's about the food, but it's not about the food. It's about the control. For you and me, it's not about the anxiety. It's about our control issues. Like, I got to have control. So how do I lay it down? How do I get out of this grasping control that's really a lack of trust before my God? That's what he's talking about. So let's continue seeing what he says. Don't seek what you're to eat and what you're to drink, or be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, Pastor. I love your message, but I don't think it's saying what you think it's saying. I mean, it's saying seek God's kingdom. That's what I've got to do. It doesn't say lay down control. I read that in my flesh as I read this. So you need to stop worrying. Control that. Control that worry. And then you need to work for Jesus, his kingdom. What are you doing to advance his kingdom? I've heard messages like this. Maybe you have too. What choices are you making? How are you controlling your life and getting it disciplined so that you're advancing the kingdom of Jesus? Why is that not true? Well, talk to me for a minute. What is the kingdom? Because when you're just feeding your control, if you're a hard worker for Jesus, if it's based on God evaluating how you work for the kingdom, it's if you're about how hard you're seeking, is it that kind of stuff? Then no, wait. He's saying the Father already knows what you need. You got that? Already, not a single thing you do, the Father already knows. That's what he just said out of his mouth. He just said it. Well, then, so why isn't he giving those things to me? Give me the reason. God's got to answer. No. He doesn't have to answer. Seek his kingdom. That means give up control. That's what it means. Your little kingdom needs to die. Your worry can ease into the stream of God's actual love for you. The kingdom where Jesus rules and reigns. What's the kingdom? Where Jesus rules and reigns. What is that kingdom where Jesus rules and reigns? He is speaking to you today. He is speaking to you through his text. He's speaking to you in the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to say, I've got you. I died for you. I paid for you. Come there to that place. Come to that room where your identity is set. What is it set in? Loved by God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. You see how I twist that? I say, okay, that's the kingdom. But you know what? I've got to go advance that. I've got to pick up a rope and pull it somewhere. I've got to have some control and some things to do so that God will really love me. What? That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that Jesus has won for us, where Jesus reigns, and we just fight it. I refuse to give up, like the patient who says, well, I can control this one thing. I can work hard for Jesus. Yeah, go for it. Everybody's doing things. If you really believe the Holy Spirit is giving you the things to say at the right times, that the Holy Spirit is giving you the right desires at the right times, that the actions you do are what God in Christ through the Holy Spirit is working in you. Of course, I don't have to worry about any of it. I choose to worry because I want, my catchword today, control. Give it up. Jesus is actually in charge. The Holy Spirit is actually at work. Do not blaspheme Him. Do not somehow think you can take your life out of His hand. You know, the Bible's super clear. Ephesians says we've got the guarantee of the Spirit. It says we're sealed with the Spirit. It says we're filled with the Spirit. It says the Spirit of Christ is in us. We've got it. And so therefore, who's in charge? Well, I am. I'm going to resist the Spirit. Who made you God? Well, I'm going to have some control over this. Yeah, isn't that the problem? This is the main issue, to trust in Christ. You're adored and loved. To seek His kingdom means realizing, dwelling in this incredibly important concept. Here it is. Here's the concept restated by Jesus right away. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, and that's the rationale by which Jesus can say, sell your possessions, give them to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, no thief approaches, no moth destroys. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You're holding on so tightly to your stuff because it's a marker of control. It says where your heart is, and your heart is you're afraid that it's up to you, that you're not going to be taken care of, that God and His kingdom is not for you, that you're not in Christ, that you actually are someone outside, and maybe by your actions of well-controlled discipline, you can get in. Maybe other people will get in that way too. And so we're going to make our message, be committed. Be a follower. Do stuff for God. And if you don't, I'm just not sure you're His, because you're not controlling the things you can control. And that message, Jesus is taking an axe and He's cutting it down. Because He says it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. What have these guys done? Nothing. That's the point. It's a gift. You get given a gift. The gift is God in Christ for you, and the Holy Spirit speaks that to your heart. And if you can hear it, this is the most amazing message you'll ever have. Christ for you, the hope of glory. He's got you. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many clothes you have. I don't care if people have abandoned you. I don't care if you're out on the street. I don't care if you've got a mansion. I don't care any of it. It's all irrespective of the wonder of the depth of the love of Christ for you that you can't even imagine, because He's for you all the time. Hold on here. Damn, he hold on so tightly. I'm always remembering my dad. My dad would go on mission trips. He'd come home and he'd come home with a new watch. They were sweet watches. I was like, wow, what a great watch you got, Dad. And it turned out that every time that he came, it was his pastor friend in Switzerland, and his pastor friend would give him a watch. And that's because other people were giving the pastor friend watches. Small hint. No. No, I don't like watches, actually. But my dad would come home, and because the pastor friend loved his watches so much. He loved watches. So he loved it so much. He says, you know, I'm just going to give it away. I'm going to let it go. Because I see myself wanting to love that too much, you know. So here, you know, my dad's name is Jerry. Here, Jerry, have a watch. So my dad would come home with a cool watch. That's the kind of life we get to have. It's freedom of choice. You get to do what you want to. You can actually be free. You can do acts of freedom, but you can let go of control. Let go of the coveting thing. I've got to have it. Let go of, and that comes into Christianity. I'm going to make sure other people know this is the way you have to do. How do you know? God in His Spirit says the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ for you. Your sins are forgiven. You are loved right now. So I'll tell you today, I mean, control is our nemesis. It always has been. If you would give me a standard to measure, a ladder to climb, a method to attack so that I engage my will and win the race, let's make it about my efforts and my abilities and my right choices, my control. And we demonstrate our addiction to it. And here comes Jesus, not to the disciplined, not to the controlling, to the lost. And His message was clear that I forgive you, I am for you, I paid it all, and it worked. Not just for heaven, but for here. Do you trust me? Because you can. Will you trust me to be in control? I know you don't. I don't either. But I'm forgiven even in that, as the Holy Spirit is working through me, as we are bearing fruit because it's promised. And did you hear today, we'll end with this, the promises, the statements in this text. I'll tell you, people miss it because they hear, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, step back. In verse 10, you're forgiven every word against the Son of Man. That's incredible. I crucified Him. In verse 12, you're used by the Spirit. Holy Spirit's doing in you what He wants. In verse 24, God values you. Guys, get it through your skull. He adores you. In verse 28, God clothes you with glory more than the lilies of the field. I don't feel very glorious. I feel kind of ugly. Not to God. He's doing what He wants. God knows what you need, Jesus says in verse 30. He knows. It's your dad's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He loves it. He's given it to you. Would you take these things to the bank? Would you take them and say, I've got it. I've got what Jesus has said, and I believe it. I trust it. He's got me forever. I will put down my control. I don't know what my life will turn out to be, but it will be a life that the Holy Spirit has used, and He will receive me into heaven. The news is that good. That's our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for what You've done for us. Thank You that You have us, even though we're such control freaks. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit breaks through into our hearts that we might receive the gift of Your Son, Jesus, for us. So, Father, thank You for what You've done. And we proclaim with our mouths, with our hearts, that You are in control and we receive the gift that You give us. In Your name, amen.